Hey, a little preface before the episode starts. This is a pre-episode, post episode being finished note that I wanted to say because I didn't want to go back and redo the whole thing. I ended up saying that I paid $8 for Dragon Ball Z Budokai 1 when it was actually 10. I still stand by that it is worth it, but yeah, I said the game was $2 less than it was. Maybe you'll be able to find it for $8. Prove me wrong. Find it at a yard sale for $3 and prove me super duper wrong. But yes, I do want to say, just a small little preface before the episode starts that I keep saying something that it was before it wasn't. And I only realized that it was after I'd finished doing this episode. So on with the episode. Hello everyone, Homecoming Hero here, and welcome to another brand new episode of Late Night Sprites, the fun podcast that's laid back, that talks about all sorts of fun video game topics. If you're new, thank you so much for stopping in. If you're not new, thank you so much for sticking around. And today, I'm in the mood for a fighting game, and I'm in the mood to play on a retro game system. So why not boot up the PS2 and play some fighting games? I'm gonna start with this small stack of four games, and I'm gonna start with Tom and Jerry, War of the Whiskers, and that's a bad idea. I played this game for an hour and it's bad. It's not good. I was deceived. It came with a comic book. It was fun. The presentation was fun. No, I'm not even gonna touch this episode. I'll wait for another episode. Tom and Jerry War of the Whiskers can get out of here. Nope. I'm good. Goodbye, Tom and Jerry War of the Whiskers. Well, Tekken 8 is coming out in a few days at the time of this recording. So I'm going to take games that are not Tom and Jerry War of the Whiskers because I do not feel like talking about it yet. And I'm going to talk about three PlayStation 2 games made by Bandai Namco. Bandai Namco makes Tekken. Tekken is coming out. And yes, there is a Tekken game on this episode. I am going to be looking at Dragon Ball Z Budokai 1, Soul Calibur 3, and Tekken Tag Tournament 1. All three of these games I'm really excited to talk about. I went through the arcade modes because if I'm playing a fighting game, yeah, the story modes are cool, they're unique, but for me, it's arcade modes all the way. So I didn't really mess with any side content, but I'm going to start with Dragon Ball Z Budokai because I was in the middle of that game's story mode. There's not really an arcade mode, and my data corrupted. I played it and walked away from it, and then I came back, and the data on the memory card was corrupted. I was quite sad with that because I had beaten the story and rolled the credits and everything. And so let's dive into Dragon Ball Z Budokai 1. If you know the world of Dragon Ball Z like I did growing up, thanks to the Toonami, as well as video games like this, playing them at my cousin's house, you know that Dragon Ball Z Budokai is a premier fighting game and really launched the idea of arena fighters. Well, later on, more right now it's more still a 2D fighting game. This game takes you from the story from the beginning of the Saiyan saga all the way over to the end of Cell. And as you play through this game, you mostly play as Goku in the story mode, playing this as a single player outing because, well, I didn't really have any friends around to play it with me. Plus, even though I just got a PS2, I only have one controller for it. So, and it's like a Mad Catz controller. I'm gonna have to get new ones in the future. There were a couple points at the making of this episode that my controller violently vibrated and would not stop, and I was quite concerned. But that being said, going back to Dragon Ball Z Budokai, I don't remember the first one as much as I remember two, and especially three, and Budokai Tenkaichi growing up. Those were the ones I'd played with friends and with cousins. This one, not so much, but I was always told to play through the story mode because this one had one of the better story modes presentation-wise. It was really unique. As I started up the game and an instrumental version of Rock the Dragon started and immediately brought me back to the days of my youth, I noticed how the graphics of this game have not aged the best, making some of the cutscenes kind of hilarious. Fighter Z, this is not, but for the time, this is probably impressive. Some of the faces that Cell makes are just absolutely hilarious and meme-worthy, and some of the other characters' expressions are just great. Hearing the Funimation voice cast is still a treat, and just playing through this game and playing through the iconic moments of the story, if you want a quick fix in a Dragon Ball-like fashion, then this is the way to go. But don't be deceived like I was and beat the game and roll the credits after defeating Cell and think you're done. No, you may play as Goku and Gohan and a couple others in a couple instances, but the story mode is presented in this really odd fashion. You unlock other perspectives of the same event after you beat the game. So you'll select story, and then it'll suddenly be individual chapters. Like, so for example, if you wanted to go all the way over to the Android Saga, suddenly you have to fight Android 18 as Vegeta when that was not in the original, like, run of the story mode of this game. The game controls pretty well. You have your combos, your beam struggles, your clashes that definitely make you rip your analog sticks about. I use the method where I use the palm of both of my hands to spin it Mario Party style. It's okay. I didn't need that hand anyway. And you do that to do beam struggles. You have to execute combos. And this game has a difficulty spike, like, up and down. Only playing through the story mode, there were some instances where, like, virtual reality Vegeta really wanted to, like, just end my, like, run right there. Virtual reality Vegeta, I was stuck on for like 20 minutes, and don't even get me started on Perfect Cell. The moment where Cell breaks Gohan's arm, you have to deal with one life bar and he has to deal with three. And let's just say that playing that late at night and running on caffeine led to quite the experience that was like exciting to begin with, then frustrating, and then exciting again. This is a game where you can beat the story mode in one setting, and I don't know if the difficulty can be adjusted. I did it normally, but if there's a way to turn on easy mode, do that for yourself. I don't think there is, but I could be proven wrong, so please feel free to prove me wrong if I'm wrong. But overall, Dragon Ball Z Budokai was a fun experience. The cool thing also, aside from going through the manual, because I love doing that with games, is that this game came with a poster, and it has all the characters' movesets, but even spoils a hidden unlockable character, which I just think is hilarious. And it's kind of a cool poster. So overall, I paid $8 at my retro game store for Dragon Ball Z Budokai, and I think it's worth it for that. I don't know how well Budokai 2 or 3 will fare, and I want Budokai Tenkaichin Infinite Worlds, but those are more the expensive end. I'm really excited for Sparking Zero to come out later this year, speaking of Bandai Namco. But with that being said, I would recommend this for Dragon Ball Z fans, and I would recommend starting with Budokai 1 because I was told by my friends that the game would improve as the series went on. So yeah, the controls are super stiff. The windups are super long. This is more of a novelty. This is play through the story mode if you want some nostalgia on the PS2 or perhaps the Budokai 1 and 3 collection on modern consoles with the hilarious and dated cutscenes. Cell looked like he dislocated his jaw no more than 15 times where he's like, I'm perfect! I loved it. I loved it so much. No notes. And playing through it was definitely a fun experience. Moving on, I'm going to talk now about Soul Calibur 3. Soul Calibur is a series that I also have a lot of experience with, playing at my friend's house and via rentals. And Soul Calibur 2 is the one I have the most experience with. I love playing as Zhonghua. And the fun thing about Soul Calibur is that I feel like it applies to Soul Calibur and Tekken. I feel like I can play as anyone. Like, I have my favorite characters, like, design-wise. Like, Setsuka is really cool with her umbrella sword. But I feel like I can play as anyone and everyone in the Soul Calibur and Tekken lineup and feel like I'm still playing as a bunch of, like, really fun characters. Yes, there's some differences. Yes, there's some, like, different stats among them. But it's just fun to play, like, these games on random and just get a random character and see if you'll find a favorite. I love the idea of Soul Calibur and Tekken just being so accessible that you can just pick a character that you never played before and potentially win. I love doing ring outs in Soul Calibur also. I used to play Soul Calibur 2 so much that I would play as Nightmare and then do the stab and then just Yeetus, Deletus, whoever stood in my way off the edge of the map. And I had so much fun with that. I love Soul Calibur 2. I honestly still hope Soul Calibur 2 gets an HD remake. I played Soul Calibur 2. I think I've played a little bit of 1, or at least watched my friend play 1. But now I've played 2, 3, and 6. I have not played 4 and 5. I have not played 4. And I have, me and my friends rented 5. And I was not fond of it. And I was not fond of that game's story. But who knows, maybe I'll play Soul Calibur 4 someday so I can play as the main man, Yoda. But today's episode is about Soul Calibur 3. We are talking about Bandai Namco fighting games on the PS2. And Soul Calibur 3, I picked up for $8. And I have to say that it was a really good time. I had an absolute blast with Soul Calibur 3. There are some questionable decisions in Soul Calibur 3, and once again, I went through the story mode because the story mode was the arcade mode. This game technically has two story modes with two different endings, which I will get to in a moment, and they're not half bad. But let's dive into Soul Calibur 3 and see why I think it was a fun time, and also for retro fighting game collectors, why this one might be just worth adding to your collection. So, Soul Calibur 3, first off, like, with my experience with the franchise, I went into this kind of excited because I had a lot of fond memories of Soul Calibur 2. Jumping into the story mode, I played as Xianghua, and yeah, it's just a fancy arcade mode. Like, so this game really heavily emphasized the created character way more than Soul Calibur 2 ever did. In fact, prove me wrong, but I don't remember Soul Calibur 2 having a created character. Maybe the HD ports did, maybe the original did. I don't remember, and I don't really want to, like, go back and research that at the moment. So, with Soul Calibur 3, I saw that there was a created character thing, but I didn't really focus on that. There was a created character story, but for this episode, I really wanted to focus on the arcade modes. If Dragon Ball Z Budokai 1 had an arcade mode, I would have focused more on that and just did that. Because for me, I enjoy arcade modes more than actual story modes in fighting games. My reason for this, not saying that arcade modes are better than story modes, because people can always like what they want to like. And not that story modes are always bad. I just always love the snappiness of arcade fighting modes. There's a reason why in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, ironically another fighting game that had help from Bandai Namco, that I preferred classic mode over World of Light. I always liked the idea of an arcade mode because when I was growing up, my big introduction to fighting games was in a laundromat with a Tekken 2 machine. And I would play that, and I got really excited. I was bad at it, but I would sit there and play it, and it was next to a Galaga machine, and I thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And for me, I think that's why I've always preferred arcade modes. I've always liked the idea of you have a set amount of quarters. Can you beat the boss? Can you beat enough enemies without dying or losing that you get to beat the boss, and then you get a unique character ending? That's something that I've always enjoyed, and I'll get into that later with Tekken Tag Tournament. But so I just did the Two Souls mode because that was, even though it's a story mode, every character has their own story. So it's like this story arcade hybrid with this like text-based adventure, and you get to make choices, and there are forks in the road, and you can decide what to do here. There's also these quick time events, which I did not know. And there's a quick time event at the end of it all. When you beat the boss, if you fail this quick time, you get the bad ending. So that kind of stinks. I successfully did it, not because I knew what the buttons were, because these quick time events aren't like press square, press triangle. They're like press kick, press E. And I'm like, what's E? So I failed like the first two quick time events. I actually ended up losing health because of one of them. And I was like, oh, dang it. So I didn't want to get the bad ending. So I mashed all of the buttons at once and it worked. I was like, oh, no, I don't know what K is. And I just pressed every single button at once over and over again. And it worked. Thank goodness it worked. And we all lived happily ever after. The end. But with this, I focused on this. I just focused on this mode. I didn't create a character. I didn't do the create character story. I didn't do the challenges because I wanted to focus on arcade style fighting. Because if I were to pick up Tekken 8, which I might on a sale in the future, there are just a few other games that I'm focused on, namely a bunch of indie games that are coming out this year. See my most anticipated games list or best of list where I talk about my most anticipated games in that. But that being said, I want to focus on arcade modes for that reason. So thank you for hearing me out on that, literally, because this is a podcast. So going through the story mode, I had a lot of fun with it and I ended up beating it because I just thought it was a great time. I love the idea of like fighting these characters and you get rival characters and you get dialogue like, oh, you aren't fit to face me. I love Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur is the perfect kind of cheesy. It is so fun to get in the arena, two souls facing each other. And the fact that every character has their own unique story mode means that I probably will revisit this when I'm in the mood to play another classic Soul Calibur game. And just run through these. I think it's entertaining because it meshes the arcade mode style layout because every character has their own unique path, their own unique characters to fight, their own rivals, and their own endings, like in arcade mode. Like the fact that if you saw it to the end of a classic Street Fighter game as Chun-Li, you would get Chun-Li's ending, and then there'd be a different ending as Guile for beating Bison. And I thought, you know, that's really unique. That's really cool. Moving forward and moving on from that, this game controls well. It looks good for the console that it is. It has this really fun CGI opening. And I know I talked about Dragon Ball looking a little dated. This game does not look bad for a PS2 game. Like, it looks like a PS2 game, but it's the fact that Soul Calibur has that unrealistic look to it already. You're fighting, like, people with swords, and there's an evil sword that corrupts all kind of sword, and it's so goofy, but in the best way possible, and there's an evil pirate and stuff like that, and I love Soul Calibur. Of the Bandai Namco fighting games, I have a special place in my heart for Soul Calibur and Tekken, and like I said, I love the fact that you can pick any character, that you can just pick a character and lab with them and have fun with them and learn their unique moves and their fighting styles and their combos, or find a new favorite, or play as your favorite, or play as someone who you don't normally play as. And it feels accessible enough to newcomers because everyone has their basic light blocks, heavy strikes, and then they have unique forms and fighting styles based off of the weapons that they have. Some characters have these like big hulking scythes and axes, and other ones have slim swords and thus can move faster but not hit as hard. Again, Shenghua is my main, and she has been my main since Soul Calibur 2. I used to main Raphael, but I like Shenghua more, and I love trying all the different characters. My least favorite might be Maxie. I'm not a fan of him, his Elvis hair, or his nunchucks. Get out of here, Maxie. I guess I prefer Keelik, and even then I don't prefer Keelik that much over Maxie. Keelik just has a big stick. He's like Donatello from Ninja Turtles. He has a big stick. But I loved playing as Raphael or Nightmare. Or not Raphael. Well, yeah, Raphael, I used to be my main. Sorry, I stumbled over my words. I used to love playing as Siegfried. I loved Siegfried's giant sword and just smacking people with it. I have so many fond memories of Soul Calibur, and this brought me back to those fond memories. Even though I didn't spend the most time with Soul Calibur 3 in the story mode, and even though the quick time events were stupid and goofy and would come out of nowhere, your only hint is that your loading screen is a little longer. Like, it says loading and it's like flashing. I'm like, oh, why is it loading longer than a normal fight? So, oh, they're dropping a big cage on me. The other funny thing is that there are these characters that, in the sense of the game, so in this weird story arcade hybrid, characters don't necessarily cross paths with each other. So unlike a Street Fighter where you're just traveling the globe and fighting each other, you can't always fight a title character. So you might fight Revenant or Rock, who's a big bull man, or Revenant, who's a skeleton pirate. And I'm just saying, nobody's picking Revenant on the title screen. No way. When you're playing this with friends, nobody is like going like, yeah, I'm a Revenant main. Sorry to any Revenant mains out there. But I do like this game a lot. I had a lot of fun with it. I think the story mode is weird in the fact that it has text, so you have to scroll and read and then hit the button and then you fight, so it does break up the action quite a bit. And it, at the end of the day, it's just a like gussied up arcade mode where it looks nice, but it's just arcade mode. So I wish like the text maybe scrolled on its own, or there wasn't as much and you have to read it, because well, my friends called me out. I did not read it all the time, and I would just pick random answers. But there are forks in the road. It's like, oh, the person's fleeing. Do you pursue or do you let it go? And it's like, all right, I thought this was a fighting game. So the story mode is an entertainingly mixed bag. Mixed is in there some baffling, questionable decisions. Entertaining and fun when you get to the fights. This game controls well. The music is still great. There's lots of characters. There's lots of modes to play that I will definitely be revisiting in the future. And I cannot wait to pick this one back up because I had a blast with it. But the last game on our Bandai Namco PS2, Namco Bandai, they kept changing the name around, so sorry if I keep saying it wrong. But the last Bandai Namco game on this list that I'm going to be talking about is Tekken Tag Tournament. Tekken, aside from that arcade machine in the laundromat that I had a really good time with, just really... Oh, wait a minute. There's some bonus content. I can't talk about Tekken just yet. I gotta talk about the amazing thing that came with my copy of Soul Calibur 3. That's right. I got a demo disc. I was shocked by it, and a lot of it was just videos, but there were some playable demos in there. There was a demo for Urban Reign. Now, the funny thing is that it was all Bandai Namco games. So there was We Love Katamari, Tekken Tag Tournament 1, some racing game, Tekken 5. Most of it was just trailers. Most of it was just press the X button and you get to watch the trailer. I thought that was funny. But the other thing that was crazy was that there was also, in the disc, a download code kind of thing. It was pre-DLC. And a day before downloadable demos and game trailers, they put trailers for their upcoming titles or games that they wanted you to buy on the disc as an advertisement. And in a day before DLC, they put cheat codes on this disc also, which included unlocking every single character in the game I'm now going to talk about, Tekken Tag Tournament 1. Tekken Tag Tournament has an arcade mode, a versus, a survival, and barely anything else. You can play it alone or with friends. Tekken Tag 1 I picked up for $7.99. So Soul Calibur and Tekken were $8 before and with tax, or before tax, I should say. I think they're both a little extra. This is before tax. And that being said, both of these are worth it. Tekken Tag Tournament is an arcade game in the purest sense of the form. You are literally just playing arcade mode. You get different endings based on the characters you pick, and I loved it. I want to find Tekken Tag Tournament 2 on Wii U at some point. That's how much I had fun with Tekken Tag Tournament 1. I remember playing Tekken 2 with my cousins on PS1, and I love Tekken 2. I love Tekken. I love the personality of the characters. I have Tekken 7. It's a game, all right. I have Soul Calibur 6. That one's a little bit of a better, but apparently, according to Namco, nobody bought Bandai Namco. I am not redoing this episode just to say a company name. But according to the company that made Soul Calibur 6, it did not sell well, and that makes me sad. Going forward, Tekken Tag Tournament 1 is basically just an arcade game on home console. You pick your character, you pick your backup character, and you start, and you go through arcade mode, and that is about it. But it is so fun. I had a couple random characters, but my mains throughout this was mostly Yoshimitsu and Julia. Julia being my favorite. And at first I questioned if this game was offensive until I found out that the team who worked on Tekken didn't do a bunch of research, but these characters aren't stereotypes. They did surface level research to make sure that the characters were proper representation of their cultures that they were representing. So Tekken Tag Tournament technically has a point over early Street Fighter as well as Punch-Out, which I think is pretty dang neat. In Tekken Tag Tournament, well, finally, I went through a story mode with Dragon Ball Z Budokai. I went through a story mode, arcade mode hybrid with Soul Calibur 3, and now I got what I wanted, a pure arcade mode experience, because I love arcade modes. I love sitting down and doing it one or two arcade modes per sitting sometimes when I play fighting games, because I love seeing the different endings. I love learning the characters. I love the fact that you have infinite tries in home versions. But yes, Yoshimitsu and Julia were my mains. So what is the big reason why it's called Tekken Tag Tournament? Well, it's because you can tag in and out, and you can do that to attack your opponents at any given time. With Tekken Tag Tournament, you have two fighters on screen, but if one of them loses a health bar, it's not like your other fighting games where it's a 2-on-2 and your teammate like jumps in. Nope, it's just game over. So if you're on death's door and your buddy has a full life bar, definitely tag in and try to turn the tides of battle. What you do with this then leads to the balancing of going back and forth between the fighters you are playing as, balancing how much health you have, balancing what you want to do, what you want to use, and putting your opponent in the corner to the point where maybe you're on death's door and so is your opponent and you're about to get knocked out. Suddenly you swap to a character that has more health and that turns the tides of battle because both of their characters only have half a bar of health and now you have a full bar of health and you just steamroll one of the two characters and it's game over. Julia ended up being one of my favorites, and I definitely want to play as her in other Tekken games going forward. So definitely found a new favorite and a new main for future Tekken games. Yoshimitsu is one of my favorites, and I love the fact that Yoshimitsu is a character in Soul Calibur and in Tekken. I did not look up the lore, so I do not know if there are two separate Yoshimitsus or if they are the same Yoshimitsu. All I know is that they are both Yoshimitsu and they are both samurais, and I love playing as Yoshimitsu in both games. But going forward from that, I had a blast. Yes, I cleared the arcade ladder according to my runtime in about 29 minutes, and that was with a lot of losses. That was with getting steamrolled by King and Heihachi. That was a few tries too many, labbing with different characters, but I finally beat him, and that was a triumphant moment. But playing in this game and seeing the different arcade endings, I think is really fun. I like the fact that you get different endings based on your lead character. The credit sequence is fun. The music is bright and bouncy and colorful. The opening is very dated in its CGI, but probably looks fantastic for the time. Tekken Tag Tournament is definitely a must, and even though it doesn't have a bunch of modes, even though it doesn't have a big story and it is just basically an at-home arcade port, it does what it set out to do really well. It is Tekken in its purest form with a giant roster, tons of ways to play, and it is fun to try going through the arcade mode and maybe not losing, but also trying to go through the arcade mode with different characters and different character combinations, learning and finding new favorites, learning new characters that you may have not used before. That is the fun of it, and I will definitely, like Soul Calibur 3, when I'm in the mood to play a classic fighting game, be going back to this game because I found it very, very enjoyable. I am so glad that I played it. I'm so glad that I did this episode because I ended up having a fun nostalgic tour through an anime that I grew up with in video game form. I ended up playing an entry in a series that I have fond memories of, and ended up discovering a new favorite in a series that I have fond childhood memories of. So, if you are a retro hunter, I do recommend all three of these games. If I was to pick my favorite, I would probably say Tekken Tag was my favorite of this episode, but Soul Calibur 3 is a close second. Dragon Ball Z Budokai, mainly for Dragon Ball fans, and the only other thing against it is that there are other and apparently better Budokai games on the PS2. But that definitely is still worth it for its story mode and its hilarious cutscenes, as mentioned earlier. But there isn't a lot to say about Tekken Tag, because unlike Soul Calibur that had all of the bonus modes like the Tower Defense Survival mode and creating OCs and challenges and tournaments and leveling up and unlocking weapons, this is really unlock the characters. And if you're like me and you own a copy of Soul Calibur 3, you can technically unlock all the characters just by owning a demo disc if it came with your system. That demo disc had some very interesting videos in it. I got to watch the Tekken 5 opening. And at the end of the day, one of the funniest things that came out of it is the fact that I tried Urban Rain for like 20 minutes and I could not get a handle on it. So who knows? Maybe I'll find a copy of Urban Rain in the future and give it a proper look with the full game. And that is it for this episode of Late Night Sprites. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I really appreciate it. If you ended up liking the show, please feel free to follow the show and help the show grow. I am definitely working on doing bigger and longer episodes this year, so I really appreciate it. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more, then I highly recommend listening to the last episode, which was a little shorter, but I was snowed in, and so I decided to look at a cozy game known on the Wii by many as Kirby's Epic Yarn. There are also plenty of other episodes, whether it's me reacting to news, reviews, or doing variety episodes like this. I haven't done a variety episode in a while where I've just looked at a bunch of something at once. Like, I used to do these a little bit more where I would like go into a retro game store and be like, oh, I bought as many DS puzzle games as I could for $20. And I kind of want to try bringing back this kind of format because I had a lot of fun with it. And technically looking at it, I ended up only paying $20 for all three of these. If you subtract tax, it was in the $20, $22 range for all three of these. So I think that was pretty cool that I ended up inadvertently doing another episode. But if you like blogs, then feel free to check out the spinoff blog that I did, Late Night Creative Thoughts. I actually just did a post on a lesson that I learned from Across the Spider-Verse and just what that meant to me and what it means to the audience and just what a good movie that movie is. So feel free to check that out. There are also tons of other blog posts on Late Night Creative Thoughts at blogspot.com. The link is in the description of this episode. And also, if you want to see me going through retro game stores and just commenting on things or going to the mall or just seeing funny gaming-related things, I also have a TikTok, so I'm going to link my TikTok at the end of this episode also. But thank you so much for listening to this episode. Take care of yourself. Take care of your mental health. I am Homecoming Hero, and I will be back with another episode of Late Night Sprites soon. Take care.